around, then strode toward his trailer with her legs still wrapped around his waist. White sheets, clean bed. His Anna deserved slow and comfortable and easy. Anna sucked on his neck hard as he carried her through the front door and into his bedroom. Shit, she felt so good against him like this. Lowering her back onto the bed, he kissed her lips and rocked his hips against hers. She bowed against the mattress, so sensitive to him. It made this easier, no hesitation, no questions. Everything was natural with her. Easton lifted her off, just enough to pull his shirt over his head. He ducked in to kiss her again, but she said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 mister." Her eyes went wide as she studied his torso. He looked down at himself, but nothing was amiss. He didn't have scars like Matt or anything unsightly. "What's wrong?"
"You just..."
Anna looked stunned as she gave a slow-motion blink and shook her head.
"You just grew up right."
"You make no sense." But as her palms drifted over his collarbones, down the curve of his pecs, and over the ridges of his abs, he understood. She liked the way he looked. Her fingers shook as she unhooked the button of his jeans. Easton grabbed her hand to steady the tremble there. "Are you nervous?"
"A little. You?"
He should be. But he wasn't. He'd never been sure of anything before.
"No."
She swallowed audibly and unzipped his pants. Then, with her fingers inside his briefs, she pushed the remainder of his clothes down his hips. His dick hit air, but wasn't lonely for long. Anna pulled a gentle stroke with her warm hand that conjured a satisfied feral noise from his throat. Arms locked on either side of her head, he rolled his hips with her next pull. Shit, he was too sensitive to her. Another minute of this and he'd cream her shirt. Shirt, shirt, shirt. Why was she still wearing a shirt? Straddling her, he pulled her top over her head and marveled at the black lace contraption that was pushing her perky boobs up to her collarbones. Floored, he ripped into her jeans and pulled them down to expose the matching see-through panties. "Did you wear these for me?" Anna smiled shyly and nodded. Holy fuck, she was gorgeous. Black lace and blushing cheeks. He could see between her legs, teeny peaks through the lace. She'd shaved there, too. He needed it inside of her. Now. With a growl, he pulled her panties down and flung them to the floor, then pulled off the tit holder she'd just unsnapped. Oh, her nipples were perfect. Pink like her cheeks, and all drawn up against the cold. He should warm them with his mouth. Leaning forward, he drew one in and sucked on it. When she responded with a helpless sound, he ran the flat of his tongue over it and cupped his hand over her sex. Her body moved against him like water. Every touch ushered a reaction. His dick was so hard right now, too thick. Looking at Anna, this couldn't work. She was tiny, fine-boned like a bird. He would hurt her. But when he brushed her folds with his middle finger, she was soaking wet. Damn, he wanted to taste her there. Wanted to taste. Was that normal? Don't scare her. Anna reached down and pressed his hand against her harder as she writhed against his touch. "In," she pleaded. "In." A little more pressure, and his finger slid into her by inches. Anna threw back her head as her eyes rolled closed. Oh, fuck. That hole wasn't only for dicks. His finger felt good to her, too. He eased inside of her up to his knuckle, but that wasn't what got her going. When he bumped the spot right above her entrance, Anna cried out and clutched the comforter. Her knees spread wider as if she was inviting him again. That was the spot she liked. That was the spot he needed to work. So he did.
"Stop, stop, stop," she whispered. "I'm going to come."
Easton slid out of her immediately. Wasn't coming what she wanted?
"I want to come with you."
"Oh." Easton kissed her hard as he lay down on top of her. Anna's breasts were soft against his hard chest, more opposites. He positioned the head of his cock at her slick entrance and teased. Anna begged by rolling her hips until she took him an inch, then again. How could anything feel this good?
"Please," she pleaded. "I want you inside of me."
Gritting his teeth against the intense pleasure, Easton slid into her tight entrance until she'd taken all of him. He eased out slowly
as she clutched onto his back with her claws, scratching little mate. Mate, mate, mate. Easton pumped his hips hard once, then eased out again, savoring her body. Anna begged him to go faster, but he wouldn't. He wasn't after a 30-second fuckfest with her. He wanted to take care of her before he shot his load. He kissed her, to quiet her pleading, brushed his tongue against hers over and over, until she gripped the back of his hair and pulled him even closer. Hard in, easy out. Hard in, easy out. Easton, please, Anna cried, arching her neck back. Fuck, he growled out, bucking into her faster. Over and over he slammed into her as the pressure built in his dick. Anna ran her claws down his back and screamed out his name as her body pulsed around him, milking him. His mind was going, filling with a snarling, possessive monster inside of him. No, 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 hold on. Growling out a wild sound, he lost his mind and drove into her one last time. Heat flooded out of him in throbbing spurts. My mate, mine. He wanted to keep his Anna for always. And as he bucked erratically into her, emptying himself completely, he did the unforgivable. He sank his teeth deep into her shoulder. Chapter 10. Aviana cried out at the mixture of pleasure and poignant pain that shot jolts of electricity firing down the nerves of her shoulder and arm. She gasped as Easton clamped his teeth down harder. He went rigid about her and released her torn skin, then flinched away from her. In a blur, he was in the shadows against the wall, light reflecting oddly in his eyes. The scent of iron filled the air, and warmth ran rivers down her shoulder and onto the sheets. She clutched her shoulder as tears of agony ran down the corners of her eyes. Why had he done that? Easton, you hurt me, she murmured in a broken voice. Why? Anna, Anna, I'm sorry, fuck. He jumped up on the bed, legs on either side of hers, as he held out his hands to calm her. His eyes glowed in the light that filtered in from the bathroom. He really was an animal. Wild and violent, and not even her affection could slow his destruction. I love you, Easton, and you hurt me! Anger blasted through her. Betrayal lashed against her heart. Don't say that, Anna. You don't love me. Can't love me. You don't know me. Easton dragged his horrified gaze across her hand that had gone slick with blood. It wasn't stopping. Putting pressure on it wasn't working. Anna, Anna, listen. You're going to turn. I put a bear inside of you. I'm sorry, Anna. He fell to his knees, straddling her hips. I'm so sorry. My bear. No. I did it. It's my responsibility. I have to get you help. Creed will know what to do. I messed everything up. I'm so sorry. Aviana searched Easton's eyes. This made no sense. Why had he bitten her? To turn her? Creed had forbidden it. What will Creed do if he finds out? Any minute now, any minute now. Your first change shouldn't be with a monster who broke you. Easton lifted her in his arms like she weighed nothing at all and strode through the house. He yanked open the front door. She clutched her shoulder, but he hadn't answered her question. Easton, what will Creed do? Kill me as I deserve. Oh, Easton, what have you done? Creed wouldn't find a bear in her, though. There wasn't room for one. A raven had claimed her since birth. Easton didn't know it, but he never had a chance of turning her into a bear. Stop, she whispered as he blasted past the woodpile. Easton, stop. I have to tell you something. Confusion and regret marred his features as he set her down. His eyes were bright and resigned, and his body had gone rigid. He wasn't going to hide her injury. He was marching to his death to find her help. She couldn't let him do that. You didn't turn me, she murmured, searching for the right words that would fix this. I told you to be yourself with me, and you were. I was surprised, but it's okay. The bite is okay. We both got lost in the moment. What do you mean I didn't turn you? Easton's eyes drifted to her arm, the opposite one he'd bitten, and back to her face. He canted his head and frowned, then looked at her arm again. The healing slice under her arm was what was drawing his attention. He took a step back and angled his face away from her, eyes never straying from hers. What's on your arm, Anna?
A cut.
From what?
Easton's voice came out a low, rumbling growl, more animal than human. She exhaled slowly, shakily, then whispered,
"Someone threw a knife at me."
"Who?" She closed her eyes, and twin tears escaped down her cheeks. "Who, Anna?" he yelled, frightening the birds roosting in the trees around them into the air and making her jump.
"You."
Easton paced, hands linked behind his head as he shook it. "Show me."
"Show you what?"
"Show me my raven. Show me what betrayal looks like. Feathers, feathers, show me your feathers. I suffered out there alone, all those years, years and years. Show me the bird who watched me break and then left me."
Agony filled Easton's eyes as he leaned against the woodpile and slammed his head back. "Please, Anna, do it fast."
Aviana's shoulders shook with sobs of agony. She hadn't known he saw it that way. She tried to help, not hurt him worse. Closing her eyes, she let the raven have her body. The change was instant, and she beat her powerful wings against the pain in her shoulder. Harder she pressed against the air currents until she sat on the lowest branch of the closest pine, staring at the man who owned her heart. At the man who was looking at her with such heartbreak in his eyes. Chin at his chest, he whispered, "You can't love me, Raven. You don't know how." Easton stepped forward and yelled. His yell turned to a roar that shook the trees, and a giant, silver grizzly burst from his skin. He could have reached her from here, as big as he was. He could have charged and ripped her from the branch. But Easton did something much worse instead. He lifted those glowing green eyes to her and exposed his crippling sadness. Her heart burned as if he had reached into her chest cavity and yanked it out between her ribs. He turned his back on her and walked away through the trees, moonlight shining off his gray back. And just like that, Easton, her Easton, was gone.
Chapter 11. Easton buttoned the fly of the two big jeans he'd snatched from a laundry line of a cabin 15 miles back. He didn't mind nudity, but here it was different. Here a layer of protection felt necessary. With a steadying breath, he scanned the clearing where he'd grown up. It had taken him all night and part of the day to travel here as a bear, and now the sun sat high in the morning sky, casting the rubble of his childhood home in light. The yard was overgrown, and young saplings had sprung up here and there. The wild grass had recovered from the winter and already came up to his thighs. He ran his hands over the top of the waving grass as he approached the charred rubble of the house he'd grown up in. The faint scent of smoke still clung to the burned lumber after all these years. Only the porch stairs remained intact, and moss and vibrant green overgrowth had blanketed out all but the seared ends of the wood. This had been where he had burned Mom and all of her belongings, just like she'd asked. Easton's lip twitched at the residual anger he had for her. She hadn't even tried. He couldn't begin to imagine where her head had been when she'd gone into labor. It hadn't been on him or the baby. Maybe she had gone mad with grief, or maybe she had already accepted her fate from that dream she kept raging about as her fever had spiked. It had taken her 2 days to die, and all the while, Easton had done everything an 8-year-old boy could to save her and the baby. He'd seen awful things in this house. Easton slammed the door and pressed his frail shoulder blades against it, then slid down the splintered length of it, sobbing. The baby had stopped moving yesterday, and now Mom was gone too. It wasn't fair. He screamed his rage into the abyss as something shifted inside of him. Fear, anger, loss, loneliness. There would be no more room for happiness. The world was ugly, and now it would swallow him up. No matter. His insides were ugly now, too. "Shit," Easton rasped out, sinking down onto the creeping porch stair. Everything had gotten so messed up here. His entire life had been shaped in the 3-day window when he'd lost his family. He dragged the supplies he'd gathered for winter from the house into the shed. Even at 8, he'd known it was an awful idea to burn his shelter, but it was that, or go back into that room with Mom's body. Nope. Dad had gotten a funeral pyre in the clearing, Mom got the cabin. The Raven brought him two more black ribbons, one for Mom and one for the baby. He'd knotted those together and kept them in his pocket to stop his weak tears when the hurt welled up too deeply. He'd set out on his own, headed due north the next day to find help, only to get lost and turned around and to come back 3 days later dehydrated, hungry, and feeling even more empty than he had before. That first winter, he'd lived in Dad's workshop. Easton had rationed the supplies they'd gathered and insulated the outside of the shed with spruce limbs and mud shoved in the cracks, but it was still so bone-deep cold he'd almost died of it. He came out of that first season, emaciated and heartbroken. And the Raven was waiting, always waiting on the bottom branches of a lodgepole pine. He couldn't control his shifts very well anymore. Sometime in those lonely months, his bear had decided he was better off without those pesky human emotions, and he'd begun to take over. Easton hadn't minded so much back then. He wouldn't have survived without his animal instincts, driving him to carve a life out of that harsh wilderness. He hadn't known it at the time, but giving his bear that much power cost him his soul. The Raven had saved his sanity when he was a cub trying to figure out how to fend for himself, but just barely. Every year got harder, and that young crow had been there, always watching, leaving him trinkets to find right when he needed a pick-me-up, as if she could see him wearing down. He should have known she was more than what she seemed, but she'd been there as long as he could remember. And to him, she was an intelligent animal who had become his friend. She'd ridden his hump when he'd gotten older, and his muscle mass had started coming in. She'd sat on top of him, tiny talons clutching his fur as she rocked back and forth with his lumbering gait, content to just be. When he'd caught his first fish in the stream near the clearing, he'd tossed her a scrap, because that's what friends did. They shared. Easton stood and sauntered over to the shed his dad had built. It was still standing, but was leaning dangerously to the side. The weather had gotten to it and rotted most of the wood. Inside, old rusted blades and tools were scattered about. Small animals had made several burrows inside, probably in the wintertime, to keep from freezing. On the back wall, on an old rust-colored nail, still hung the snares he'd made. The Raven had brought him one that first spring, after his family had passed. He was starving and wasn't hunting with any success, and the vegetable garden, the first he'd planted by himself, hadn't been producing much. He built a treehouse in the canopy of three ancient pines just across the yard, but now only a few rotted boards clung to the branches of his old den. He'd taken to sleeping up in the treehouse back then, instead of the drafty shed, and it was on the uneven porch of his treetop home that the Raven had dropped a loop of wire, a rabbit snare. He hadn't caught a damn thing in it for the next 3 weeks, but little by little, he taught himself how to read signs for rabbits, burrows, fur, scat, smell. He taught himself where to hang the loops around the burrow exits so that he could find success. And one day, he did. One dead rabbit that said he would survive another few days. And the Raven had been watching, with something akin to pride in her eyes. After that, he'd use that first snare as a template for making 9 more. By the second spring, setting and checking snares became part of his daily routine. Late in the second year, the Raven had dropped off 2 shiny fishing lures that glinted in the sun. She liked shiny things best. Meat became his main source of food in those early years since gardening didn't come naturally to him. He had struggled to figure out how to get seeds for the next year, and his plants often got yellow patches on the leaves and wouldn't produce. Eventually, he'd figured that out too. And his Raven sat in her tree, always watching. By his 11th birthday, however, not even the Raven's presence could keep the loneliness at bay. Wild bears were solitary creatures, but bear shifters were social by nature, and he had no one. He didn't speak, and eventually lost the use of his words, until he'd met Creed. Now he had to work constantly at communicating with other people, because back then, for so many years, his world had been void of human interactions. Cicadas, crickets, injured rabbits, bullfrogs, howling coyotes. These were things that filled up his head. Not the laughter from when Mom and Dad had been alive, Not conversations about how his day had gone or lullabies to help him sleep at night. His human world had dimmed and quieted until there was no need for it anymore. He had no one around to teach him about growing up or how to act around other people. There was no verbal compass for right and wrong, only instinct. And a bear's instincts weren't driven by good and evil. They were driven by want and need. Why the fuck hadn't she told him then? How many times had he been curled in on himself with hunger? How many times had he been driven to the edge of madness with desperation to hear someone talk to him, to say his name, or tell him everything was going to be okay? How many times had he been bone-deep cold in those snowy winter months and been sure that day would be his last? Yet, she'd never revealed her human side to him. Aviana had watched and brought him tiny treasures, but she hadn't given him what he really desired, companionship. And now she was back after all these years, and for what? To reveal herself now after all the damage had been done? After he'd lost his mind, lost control of his bear, and was worthless as a functioning member of society? His thoughts had become clearer and clearer around her. His bear had quieted, and for a minute, he'd felt normal. Like maybe Creed wasn't going to have to put him down. And it had been such a huge relief to feel safe for that instant, because every morning Easton woke up thinking today was going to be his last on this earth. Living in fear for his life like that for too long had ruined him from the inside out. She could have ended his suffering years ago by changing and talking to him, by looking at him like she had last night through those big blue eyes, as if he was worth something. Instead, when he'd needed a friend the most, she'd flown away and left him altogether. And after she'd gone, out in these woods all alone, Easton's bear had killed the last good parts of him. Chapter 12. Aviana waited for hours, hoping Easton would come back. Her night vision wasn't as good as a bear shifter's, and flying out after him wouldn't work, not with a sore shoulder, and not without a clear idea of where he had gone. With the first streaks of dawn, she flew stiffly from the branch she'd been using as a lookout post, changed into a human form, and stumbled into his trailer. She washed the salty tear streaks from her face, then dressed. There was a first aid kit still in its plastic wrapping under his sink, so she ripped it open and cleaned the bite mark as best she could. A shrill whistle from the trailer park told her the others were waking up for their workday. She huddled into Easton's jacket and sat on the front porch stairs, waiting. Willa called out, "I'll get him," over the sound of truck engines roaring to life. The sound of dry leaves crackling under footfall traveled to Aviana, and she wrung her hands as she waited for Willa to come. She couldn't face the others right now, so she was grateful it was Willa who was coming to Easton's trailer. The spunky redhead froze in her tracks when she saw Aviana sitting there. Willa scanned the yard and asked, "Where's Easton? And why do you smell sad?" Aviana swallowed hard. "Easton's gone." Willa's eyes went hard as she asked, "Gone where?" "He turned into his bear and went that way last night," Aviana explained, jerking her chin toward the woods and hiccuping slightly. "I think he hates me." A sob worked its way up her throat, and she clamped her mouth shut, biting her lip hard to punish herself for falling apart like this. Sometimes she got so tired of herself for being so fucking weak. She turned her head toward Willa. The stretch of her neck pulled on her injury, and she hissed as pain rippled through her shoulder. "Are you hurt?" "It's nothing I don't deserve. Willa, can I ask you something personal?" Easton's bite had been bothering her all night. Willa sat beside her on the porch stair. "Shoot. If a bear shifter bites a woman, what exactly does it mean?" "Are you fucking kidding me?" Willa reached across her and ripped Easton's jacket to the side, exposing the bandage over her shoulder. Willa ripped into that too and stood. "You don't smell like a bear." "Because I wasn't ever human," she said in a pathetic whisper. Willa was scary as shit when she was mad, her eyes glowing green like Easton's did when his bear was riled up. "What's going on?" Iviana's face crumpled, and she wiped her hand across her leaking eyes. I've known Easton most of his life, but not as a girl. I'm a raven shifter.
The blood drained from Willa's face as she stared at her with those terrifying, glowing eyes. Her voice pitched to a whisper as she asked, You're Easton's raven?
Iviana sniffled, and her lip trembled as she nodded.
He's talked about me?
Willa approached and sank down heavily beside her.
Yeah, he's mentioned you.
He didn't know I was a shifter when we were younger. He thought I was just a crow, and it took me a long time to get brave enough to find him. I wanted to wait until I thought he was ready before I told him who I really was. But last night, he bit me, and when I didn't turn, he started piecing it all together.
Iviana sagged against her.
Willa, he was so mad. He said I left him, but it wasn't my choice. Nothing was my choice. I love him. I always have.
Holy hairy testicles, crow!
Willa draped her arm around Iviana's shoulder and rested her cheek against the top of her head.
That isn't just a bite on your shoulder. It's a claiming mark. Easton's marked you as his mate.
Oh my gosh,
Iviana said on a breath, sitting up straight and searching Willa's dimming eyes.
He did it before he found out who I was.
Easton was probably filled with regret now. Her heart sank even lower. He wouldn't want to keep her now. Not after last night.
Willa, Easton, Creed yelled through the trees. Iviana, listen to me,
Willa said urgently, grabbing her hands.
You can't let Creed see that mark until you find Easton. You both will need to explain everything. He's on thin ice with our Alpha, and he disobeyed a direct order to claim you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I need to find Easton.
Yes. Think, Iviana. Did he say anything or give you any clues? Where would he have gone?
Willa!
Creed bellowed.
Ah, Iviana whispered, panicked. He's been holding on to my trinkets lately.
Memories, flashbacks. She didn't know what went on in Easton's head. Not anymore. Home, den, the divot in the windowsill she used to drop her treasures. Iviana gasped.
He might have gone to his parents' cabin.
Are you okay to travel with your injury? You aren't healing like you should.
Ravens don't heal instantly like bears. I can do it if I fly in a straight line there.
A twig cracked on the trail that connected Easton Singlewide to the rest of Greyland Mobile Park.
Hurry,
Willa urged.
You won't tell your Alpha?
Willa looked determined.
Let me handle Creed. You just get Easton back here.
With a burst of desperation, not to be seen by the dragon-blooded Alpha grizzly shifter stomping this way, Iviana changed into a raven and flapped her wings, ignoring the pain on her left side. Up and up she flew until Willa was only the size of an ant by the pile of Aviana's clothes below her. The world was green beneath her, covered in pine forest and bisected by rivers that snaked back and forth in gently rolling serpent shapes. Occasional cabins dotted the landscape, but not many lived in this wilderness. She circled once over her family's dilapidated cabin just to get her bearing, and then caught an air current going due east. Many miles separated her childhood home from Easton's, and she hadn't returned since the day Dad had packed them up and taken her away from the boy he saw as a threat to his only daughter. Still, the way was as familiar to her as her flight feathers. A million times she'd flown this journey when she was a young crow, visiting the broken boy in the woods. She landed on the gnarled branch of the tree that had always been her landing place before. Now the branch wasn't thin and covered with tender pine needle shoots. It was aged, thick, and the bark was rough under her grasp. Easton was there, wearing jeans that hung dangerously low around his narrow hips as he leaned against the battered door of the shed. His back was bare, but the cool March air didn't seem to bother him. Easton had been made for these woods, carved from them and made invincible by his struggles here. He turned and looked directly at her over his shoulder. She expected his eyes to be glowing like a demon, but they were dim and sad. The color wasn't the eerie lime green they usually were, but the darker green of mature forest moss.
Do you know how many times I looked up onto that branch you're clinging to after you left?
His throat moved as he swallowed hard and pushed off the door. He turned and approached, his gait hitched as he limped toward her.
A year. It was a full year before I could convince my stupid eyes to stop checking for you. And now here you are.
Aviana flitted to the ground and changed. The cool air stung against her bare skin, and she felt completely stripped down and vulnerable in front of him. But she had to tell him the truth now. She had to at least try to explain it wasn't just him who'd been hurt.
Do you know anything about Raven shifters? Her voice came out frail and weak, just like her.
He shook his head. I didn't even know you existed. Fucking obviously.
My people aren't like yours, Easton. You are a powerful apex predator shifter, while I'm a bad omen.
I don't understand.
Do you know how many of my people are shot each year while they are shifted? Just because of the bad luck we represent. It's against our laws, on the punishment of being shunned, that we expose ourselves to anyone.
She arched her eyebrows and looked pointedly at him.
Anyone? And you aren't just a human or a scavenger shifter, Easton. You're a grizzly, a shifter my people naturally fear. Being with you as a crow is already a huge risk, but I couldn't help myself. I had to be around you, or my life felt empty. Especially out here where I was being raised until I could control my shifts around humans. When your parents died.
I don't want to talk about them with you.
When your parents died, my heart broke for you. I watched the boy I loved hurt and cry out for help, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't tell my parents you were out here alone. I was scared they would call their council, and they would come out here and put you down. A lone grizzly cub? With no people? I couldn't tell anyone what had happened to you. All I could do was try to help you with snares and lures and scraps of food when I could sneak it away from my cabin. I couldn't even carry a damn blanket when you were cold in the winters. Watching you break over those years broke a part of me, too.
Then why did you leave? If you cared so much, why did you leave me here? You were my only friend. God damn it, Anna, there was no one. When you left, there was no one.
You got caught in that trap. Do you remember?
Aviana clenched her hands and forced her mind back to that awful day.
You were hurt, screaming, bleeding. I thought you were going to die in that trap. And even in my human form, I was too scrawny to help. You tried and tried to get out of it, and your leg looked so bad.
She wiped her eyes again.
I flew back to my house and told my dad. I begged him to help you. And he was so angry. He said I'd betrayed my family and my people by making friends with you. I promised never to see you again if he would just let you out of the trap and not tell the council about you. I led him to you.
I remember him. Easton crossed his arms over his chest and looked off into the forest with a faraway look in his eyes. He was tall, skinny, fine-boned like you are. He pulled the trap off and set my broken bone like he'd done it 100 times. And then he ripped the trap out of the ground and walked off into the woods with it dangling from his hand and didn't look back. I hadn't seen another person in so long, I thought I'd imagined him. You sent him?
I didn't know what else to do. He packed us up that night, and we moved to Rapid City the next day.
Aviana was shivering so hard now, her teeth chattered.
Did you find my last gift?
The shiny rock.
She smiled sadly and shook her head. It wasn't just a shiny rock. It was a diamond. I found it on the ground, and I'd been saving it. It was my favorite possession. My dad said it was worth a lot of money, but I didn't care about selling it. The night before we left, I snuck out and visited your treehouse for the last time. You were curled up inside sleeping with your leg all bandaged. I gave you the diamond because I hoped that someday you would escape this place.
Easton screwed up his face and turned his back to her. He arched his head back and muttered a curse. He linked his hands behind his head before he spun back to her and wrapped her up in a bone-cracking hug. I didn't know it was valuable, but I wouldn't have sold it, even if I had. It's in the box with the rest of the presents you gave me. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Easton's words were muffled against her neck, and she was openly weeping now. She'd been afraid he wasn't ever going to touch her again. He lifted her off her feet, and she nuzzled his face because she loved him so fucking much, she couldn't be close enough to him. Not ever. Easton. Easton, Easton. I've thought about you all this time. Missed you so badly and compared every potential mate to you. I imagined how it would feel to hold you like this without my feathers.
You're cold, Anna. You'll get sick. Shit, you're bleeding. Look what I've done to you, he murmured, setting her down, his eyes on her shoulder.
The skin was jagged and deeply torn where he'd bitten her, and sure enough, it was weeping red again. The multiple changes weren't helping.
I wanted this. Stop fussing with it. It's okay. I wanted you to choose me for a mate someday. I just didn't know that was how it was done with your people. And I certainly didn't know you were going to claim me our first time.
I hadn't done that before. I'm messed up.
You haven't claimed anyone before? I'm glad.
No. I mean, I've never slept with a woman.
Aviana's mouth dropped open. A slow smile spread across Easton's face as he pressed his finger under her chin until her mouth closed again. You'll catch flies.
Wait, you were a virgin, but you knew exactly what to do, and you were so good at it. You didn't even ask me what I liked, you just knew.
Okay, she was rambling, but dear goodness, the man had given her a bona fide orgasm first try, and he was a virgin?
Why didn't you tell me?
What difference did it make? Easton was still smiling.
I don't know, I could have lit some candles or taken it slower or something.
Yeah, well, lucky you. You got the first beast and bang, complete with copious amounts of blood, teeth gnashing, and pain. Congratulations.
You're teasing.
She liked that Easton could joke with her after all the heavy grit that had happened. The smile slipped from Aviana's face.
Can I ask you something?
Easton rubbed her arms to warm her and nodded.
If you would have known I was your raven before we slept together, would you have claimed me still?
Are you asking if I still want you for my maid?
She dipped her chin once. His answer meant the world.
I don't regret my mark on you.
We have to go back home and explain everything to Creed. He'll understand. He has to. You're mine, and I'm yours, and technically you didn't turn me, so you didn't disobey his order.
I thought you said ravens were naturally afraid of bears.
Yeah, so?
So if the graybacks scare you, I can claim my own territory and keep you safe. You won't have to smell scared anymore.
But you love your crew.
His eyes stayed steady and clear on her, but he didn't answer.
You'd give them up for my comfort?
She asked, stunned.
Any good mate would, and since I'll be shit at most of this, it's the least I can do.
Aviana trailed kisses down the line between his taut pecs and rested her cheek against his drumming heartbeat.
Silly man, I'd never ask you to give up something you love just for my comfort. The graybacks are growing on me. Take me home, Easton.
Without a word, Easton backed away and kicked out of the two big jeans. With eyes full of adoration, he hunched into himself and exploded into the massive grizzly bear she'd treasured for all these years. She wasn't dumb or blind. Easton struggled a great deal with his animal side, thanks to what he'd endured in this place. But he was still trying, and that spoke volumes about the caliber of man he was. Easton strode off with powerful steps, his razor-sharp claws digging into the earth as he moved away from her. And as he reached the first line of trees, he looked back over his shoulder and waited. Aviana smiled and changed into a raven. She beat her wings against the air until she reached the muscular hump between his shoulder blades. Gripping his silver fur in her small talons, she held on as he took off in the direction of the trailer park. And though years stood between the last time they'd traveled together like this and now, she was filled with that same stomach-fluttering bond she'd built with Easton. She felt the same elation she had when she'd touched his fur for the first time as a raven when they were children. Their history together stretched on and on. No matter what lay ahead of them with Creed, she would be there with Easton, standing beside him, fighting for their second chance. Because from this day on, she was never going to fly away from her Easton again.
Chapter 13
Easton brushed his fingertip down each vertebra in her back, almost as if he were counting them. He'd filled up the tub with steaming water as soon as they got back, but the chills wouldn't leave her body. Aviana drew her knees tighter to her chest and rested her cheek on one so she could see him better. Easton's bright green eyes followed his finger as he started at the top of her spine and started again. He was leaning on the tub, chin resting on his arm, and an absent smile on his lips. She was marrow deep exhausted, but Easton had made her a bowl of stew, lit candles in the bathroom, and now seemed content to forego sleep, just to stare at her skin. She understood. Aviana had been drinking him in since she'd first seen him again, too.
"What are you thinking about?"
she whispered in a soft voice, afraid to disturb the moment. "Do you remember when the rabbits got to my vegetable garden?" She answered a smile with one of her own. God, she loved his dimples. They were even more special, since he only seemed to flash them for her.
"You were 11?
Easton sat up and pushed her gently backward until her hair was immersed in the water. Then he lifted her out and poured a dollop of shampoo in his palm. As he worked her hair into a lather, he said, "I wanted to snare all the rabbits and put them into a stew with my vegetables. But all you caught was a cold from obsessively checking the snares in the middle of the night. And you brought me an earring." Aviana giggled and leaned her head back on his hand in the water, then allowed him to pour a plastic cup over her hair to rinse out the suds. "Not all of my gifts had to mean something, you know."
"But you couldn't bring me cold medicine."
She giggled harder. She sat up.
"For fuck's sake, a single painkiller would have done wonders for the headache that came along with it. But no, you gave me a shiny earring."
"I like shiny things. That is a high compliment that I can part with them for you. I found it on a hiking trail. For some reason I can't think of now. I thought you would like it. Besides, you're a bear shifter. I thought you weren't supposed to get sick."
"And I haven't since. Damn rabbits cursed me."
She blinked slowly as he traced her backbone again.
"Was it awful after I left?"
"Crow, crow, why are you still cold?"
he asked in that deep timbre she was still getting used to.
"I'll get stronger. You didn't answer my question."
With a sigh, Easton pulled his shirt over his head. His abs rippled with the movement. After tossing it into the pile with her discarded clothes, he shucked his jeans, too. Slowly he slid into the bathtub behind her, then pulled her back against his chest and wrapped his arms around her. There was barely any room in the small tub for a man Easton's size, but he didn't seem to mind folding his legs around her.
"Yes,"
he pressed his forehead against the back of her neck.
"But it's done, and I wouldn't change it now."
"You wouldn't?"
"If I would have kept you all my life, I couldn't appreciate you like I do now. I wouldn't know how bad it can hurt without you."
"Oh."
Aviana closed her eyes and melted back against him. Easton was big and strong and warm. Already her chills were lessening with him curled around her. It had been a long and trying day, and her stamina wasn't great. Not yet. But Easton deserved a strong mate, and she was determined to become better for him.
"Easton?"
He rumbled, dragging a wash rag around the edge of her claiming mark.
"I feel safe with you."
Easton snorted and told her,
"Your instincts suck."
She laughed and said, "I'm serious. I've always felt safe around you."
"I bit you the first chance at God."
"Because you wanted to claim me."
"I'm not good, Anna. I'm not."
"You are."
He dragged the scruff on his chin across the back of her neck, back and forth, back and forth. His silent argument didn't matter, though. She knew the truth. She saw straight to Easton's soul, and he was good to the core. He just had to learn how to act around other people instead of reacting on grisly instincts. She understood his quirks and loved each of them.
"Tell me a secret no one else knows," she whispered, trickling water over his knee.
"I want to go somewhere big and far away. Somewhere like the Grand Canyon."
"You do?"
His lips pressed against the back of her neck.
When I was a kid, I thought my bear would never let me get out of my territory."
"Your parents' land?"
"Yep. He claimed it.
and then it got really hard to leave. I still live close, and sometimes I wish I could go somewhere away from here. Stupid. I know I'm not ready. Maybe I won't ever be. Can't keep control. I went to Dodge City to help Jason out last year, and the job took way longer than it was supposed to, because I couldn't stay human very long. Didn't tell my crew that part. Sometimes I just want to see something other than these mountains. Now you, tell me a secret. Aviana leaned her head back against his shoulder and smiled. I used to watch you sleep. When? After you'd built that treehouse? I would sneak out late at night after my parents were asleep, and I'd perch on the window where the moonlight made you look blue, and I'd watch you. You always looked so calm in your sleep, relaxed, like a kid again, like you weren't fighting for survival. I wanted to change and sleep beside you so badly, you can't even imagine. You were warm and felt safe, and I wanted to be under your arm, sleeping with you. Easton huffed a small chuckle, and she reveled in the vibration against her back. His laughs were for her. Easton, about when we slept together before? He pulled her wet hair to her other shoulder and kissed her gently right beside her bite. It looked awful now, bruised and torn. Losing your virginity is a really big deal, she whispered. Do you want to talk about it? Losing it isn't a big deal to animals. When a soft growl rattled his chest, delicious chills rippled up her skin. Easton wouldn't talk about it or linger on nostalgic thoughts. She knew he wouldn't. His answer had been a flippant, an honest denial that sex for the first time had been life-altering at all. And to her, it made sense. Easton was more animal than man. Her cheeks warmed with happiness as she snuggled back against him. She'd been his first, and the burning mark on her shoulder said Easton wanted her to be his only. Easton kissed her bite mark softly, then settled her wet hair back into place. Anna, I won't ever hurt you when we're mating again. I won't hurt you ever. His promise brought an emotional smile to her lips.
Okay.
He massaged her breast, dumping instant heat into her middle. His erection had been swollen and hard against her back since he'd slipped into the tub behind her. But now he rolled his hips slightly. You like it when I touch you here, he murmured, slipping his hand down to cup her sex, right over her clit. Anna rolled her eyes closed and nodded. And here, he said low as he slipped his finger into her. Rocking back against his touch, she nodded again. His other arm encircled her stomach and pulled her tight against his dick, standing straight against her spine. Rolling his hips, he pressed against her in the same slow rhythm he fingered her, pressure built with every stroke, and she slipped her hands behind his head as he kissed her neck. The warm water lapped at her ribs when Easton rested his chin on her shoulder as he brought her closer to climax. A soft moan pushed past her lips as her body pulsed in a fast rhythm around his finger. She still couldn't believe how good he was at touching her. She was almost embarrassed by how fast she came with him, but he didn't seem disappointed. Want to feel, he murmured in that gravelly, inhuman timbre that said his bear was close. Rolling her forward, he settled her on her hands and knees. Easton slid into her slow from behind. She'd never done it like this, like the animals did, but with Easton, it felt right. It felt natural. His powerful body curved over hers as he pushed his thick shaft deep inside of her. He was big and stretched her, but she was ready, relaxed and wet. Slowly he eased back by inches, then thrust into her again. Holy moly, he was sexy, a growl vibrating against her back, him nibbling kisses on her uninjured shoulder. His powerful arm flexed and locked on one side, while his other gripped around her waist. The next thrust was faster, out slow, in hard. Anna arched her back and gave him a better angle. Fuck, he whispered shakily as he slammed into her again. Pressure with each stroke. She could climax just thinking about his powerful body covering her. Her middle was tingling now, and everything felt so good, floaty, numbing. Lock those arms, almost there. Ah, she cried as he pushed into her again. Easton, I'm going to... Come for me, he said on a growl as his hips pumped into her again. Her body shattered. The pleasure was so intense, She had to close her eyes and focus on not falling apart. The snarl in Easton's throat was constant now, as he bucked into her. When her body clenched around him, Easton froze with her name on his lips. Hot, pulsing jets shot into her, filling her, dripping down her thighs as he pulled out. Then he slid back in and emptied himself completely. Her body pulsed on and on, each aftershock as intense as the last, as he bucked against her more slowly, drawing each one from her. The water was getting cold against her arms and legs, but Easton didn't seem in a hurry to sever their connection. His lips gone soft, he ran kisses across her shoulder instead. His teeth grazed her skin in a soft bite, every couple of kisses, as the pulsing sensation faded completely away. It was so warm, so strong. She couldn't help but feel safe all tucked up under him, even with his teeth brushing her skin. He wouldn't hurt her. And just as her arms felt as though they wouldn't hold her anymore, Easton slid out of her and stood, dragging her with him. He bent down and folded her into his arms, then stepped out of the tub and carried her to his bed. She smiled languidly at the fresh white sheets he'd put on. No more bloodstains from when he'd claimed her, and suddenly it was clear why his bedding looked so clean and soft. He'd obviously spent some money on the thick comforter and crisp linens. They were to banish the memory of all the nights he'd slept on spruce limbs and plucked pillows of grass. The living room might resemble the treehouse he'd made himself all those years ago, but his bedroom, that was his attempt to move on. Easton settled her in bed and stood beside her with his head canted. He looked at her body as though she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. "I'm going to clean you," he said in a rumbling voice. She nodded, ready for a soft cloth. But when he lowered himself to the bed and dragged a trail of kisses down her ribs to her stomach, it became abundantly clear what kind of cleaning Easton had in mind. Anna held in a giggle. She should have known. Her mate laved his tongue up her still wet folds and drew a soft sigh from her lips. He was meticulous and rhythmic, and now he was definitely conjuring another orgasm. Anna bent her legs and gripped his hair. Easton's eyes glowed green as he looked up at her, and with only a second of hesitation, he gave into her silent pleading and slipped his tongue inside of her. Anna moaned helplessly at how good he felt right there. Easton grabbed her hips and dragged her closer, then drove his tongue deeper. Arching her back, she cried out and clenched his hair. His head bobbed between her legs as he drove her closer and closer to climax. "Easton!" she yelped as her body clenched around his tongue in quick, throbbing orgasm. He licked her until she twitched and lay exhausted and spent. Easton kissed the inside of her thighs gently, then climbed up beside her and pulled her against his chest. He pulled the covers over them, then leaned his chin on top of her head. His dick was long and hard against her belly, but he didn't move to relieve himself in her. Instead, he murmured, "Sleep now, mate." "Mate." She smiled and nuzzled closer to him. And finally, after all those years of wanting, she got to sleep safe and warm under the arm of the man she loved. Chapter 14. "Don't smell scared," Easton said, his eyes blazing as he cast her a quick glance.
"I can't help it."
Aviana clutched tight to his hand as Easton led her toward the Greyland Mobile Park.
"Your crew's intimidating. All bear shifters are, really."
"Yet you are mated to Beeston," he muttered so low she almost didn't hear it. She frowned at the use of that name. Sure, his animal was in control, but that was because of what he'd been through. That bear inside of him also was to thank for his survival. Easton had lost his family when he was just a kid, then eked out a life in the woods all alone.
"You say Beeston like it's a bad name, but I think it's fucking awesome," she said defiantly.
He cast her a startled glance and skidded to a stop.
"Why?"
"Because you might be a beast, Easton Novak, but you are also a survivor. And I'm so fucking proud of how far you've come, I can hardly stand it. So don't utter that name around me unless you are owning it. Badass, snarly, scary-eyed mountain man who protects the heart of a fearful raven. You are Beeston. My Beeston." A slow smile had spread across his face as she'd ranted, and now his dimples showed. "Okay," he said low, pulling her into a hug. "I'm Beeston."
A sharp whistle trilled across the valley. Creed was letting them know it was time for the crew to head up to the mountains to clear timber, but they would have to wait. She and Easton had an announcement to make before he went to work. The Graybacks were all gathered near the bricked-in fire pit talking when Easton led her out of the tree line.
There they are,
Willa called, looking relieved. Now we can have someone unbiased settle the score, she said, looking pointedly at Gia. Georgia was rifling through a backpack, sitting on a food prep table near them, and she shook her head, though she was still smiling.
What is it?
Aviana asked, voice small and pathetic. With a frown, she said louder,
What is it?
Easton looked at her proudly. Dude, Beeston's holding her hand, Matt said low to Jason. Willa kicked her mate's boot and held out both hands as they approached. In one was a pile of green M&Ms, and in the other was a pile of orange.
Which ones are supposed to make you horny, green or orange?
Aviana snorted and tried to think back on her school days.
I think it's green makes you horny. Here, Grizz, eat these, Willa said, dumping the green pile into Matt's hand.
He snorted and popped them all into his mouth.
I can't even believe you want me hornier than I already am, he said around the mouthful of candy.
So it's orange to make your boobs big then, Gia said matter-of-factly. Told you.
Aviana laughed and asked, Can I have some orange ones then? With a big toothy grin, Willa handed her half the pile of oranges and poured the other half into her maw. Easton slapped the candy out of Aviana's hands with a look of panic in his eyes.
Don't want bigger boobs on you. Too much.
Aviana stood there stunned, looking at the bright colored chocolate scattered across the white gravel road. Jason was laughing now, hands around his stomach, bent over, wheezing.
Dude, it's not real.
Oh, Easton said with a confused frown, as he watched Jason fall over onto the ground, kicking his legs as he laughed. He swung his troubled gaze to Aviana and murmured,
Sorry.
She was trying not to laugh, really she was, but Easton was so fucking cute. Sexy as all get out, eyes wild and bright, as he made sure she stayed just as she was. If she'd had any question that her flat chest bothered her mate before, it was dispelled now.
Why are you eating M&Ms for breakfast? She asked. Gia craves them all the time, Georgia explained. Willa just mooches them.
I help her eat them, Willa corrected. It's not mooching if I'm doing out of the goodness of my heart. Creed was quiet beside Matt, shaking his head and looking tired, as if his crew already exhausted him.
I have something to say, Easton announced in a strong, formal voice.
Jason kicked into a star shape on the ground and looked at Easton, upside down.
That sounds serious.
It is.
Easton lifted his gaze to Creed and cocked his head, exposing his neck.
I have to beg your forgiveness.
Creed stood straighter, as his black eyes lightened to a gray that matched the early morning sky.
What did you do?
Aviana couldn't even look at him like this, not when Creed was making the air so heavy. It was hard to draw breath under his stare, so she angled her chin down and looked at Willa instead.
As second, I forbid you to bleed him, Willa said, standing to her full height of not even 5 foot tall. And glaring at Creed.
What? Creed asked, looking even angrier. It doesn't work like that. You're second, not alpha. What's going on?
Show him, Easton murmured, nudging Aviana's shoulder. Aviana pulled her stretchy pink cotton shirt to the side and exposed the tattered flesh of Easton's claiming mark. Creed's dark eyebrows jacked up, and he swung a dangerous glance at Easton.
What the fuck did you do?
I'd say either a zombie bit her or Easton claimed her, Willa said helpfully, as she dug around in the crinkly package of M&Ms for more candy.
Enough, Creed yelled.
Willa didn't even look cowed, but damn what the electricity in the alpha's voice did to Aviana. With a grunt, she fell to her knees under the heaviness of the stomach-curdling anger Creed was throwing off in waves. Easton looked down at her, then back to Creed. Eyes blazing as a low, menacing rumble rattled his throat.
Let her up.
You turned her, Creed bellowed. After I forbid it, you turned her.
She doesn't smell like a bear,
Georgia whispered from near the table where she looked like she was struggling to stay upright, too.
It took you all of what, a day? A day? To disobey a direct order? Creed said, hands on his hips. What the fuck, man? She's mine. You just met her. Let her.